9:02:06:20 p.m., January 13th.
So, look, Jim Chow, you motherfucker. Goddamn Dan Morton, the law enforcement community's got your number. We're waiting on your motherfucking ass. Just come on, you little big bad son of a bitch.
I'm coming.
End of messages.
This is Jim Giles, and you're listening to Radio Free Mississippi. I've been doing 40 push-ups and 40 sit-ups now for over probably close to a year. I got my way there incrementally. I may have started out with as few as 10. But that's my custom. I had rather do a good push-up and a good sit-up form-wise, rather than do 50 sloppy ones without good technique. And very quickly thereafter, I went from 10 to 15 and then to 20, 25, 30, 35, and then 40. Probably took me maybe 3 months. Just, you know, that's a ballpark guess. But once I hit the 40, I kind of held there. And I've held there probably, undoubtedly, out of laziness. But the last 2 days, I pushed it from 40 to 50. I've gone from 40 push-ups and 40 sit-ups to 50 push-ups and 50 sit-ups. Straight. I mean, you know, no break, no, you know, not two sets of 25. And they're good push-ups, they're good sit-ups, they're not sloppy. So, we're pushing there. And goddamn it, Seal. Man, come on now. Don't give up on me. I know I'm talking a big game here, talking like I'm really going to get in true physical shape. You got to be laughing out your ass, me talking about 50 push-ups and 50 sit-ups. Yeah, I know. I know. But hell, at least I'm positioned physically and mentally to up my fucking game. Come on now, Seal. Don't give up on me yet. I have potential, sir. And this raises the issue of what my purpose here is at Radio Free Mississippi. I'm about the business of turning you into a strictly legal political radical. And like that boy from Iowa said, radical, I didn't know it. Radical has to do with going back to your roots. Or at least that's what he said. Makes sense to me. Repeat, my purpose here is to turn you into a strictly legal, political radical. I ain't no fucking dicking around here, boy. I'm trying to turn you into a mean motherfucker. I know you got it in you! Come on! Admit it. You fucking got it in you. You fucking feel it. You feel the fucking urge, don't you? Huh? You know what the right fucking thing to do is, don't you? I know you fucking do. I can feel it in your fucking bones too. Come on now, goddamn it, admit it. You know what the fuck to do. God and Jesus are talking to you. Just like God and Jesus are talking to me. And God and Jesus are saying, Jimmy, run them fucking Jews and niggers out of your goddamn country. Come on now. Listen to what God and Jesus are telling you. And fuck all them goddamn Judeo-Christians. Another purpose, another mission, another objective here is to drive a fucking stake through the heart of the goddamn Judeo-Christian empire out there, baby. We're rather ambitious here at Radio Free Mississippi. In a strictly legal way. Don't you know? You know, I kind of chuckle and laugh at that guy who went out there and broke the law, stole all that money, then turned around and tried to give it to people who would actually use it. You know, there ain't nobody out there except fucking pussies, man. Fucking con men. There is no radical other than the niggers and Jews who are, there is radical as they come, man. And that radical, those radical Jews and niggers, they are organized. They've got the media on their side. They've got the government on their side. Hell, they've got about every fucking advantage you can think of, man. But white people, we ain't got a radical group in sight. There is no such thing as white radicalism in America. None. None. Zero. Zilch. There's not one white radical group in America. None. None. Zero. Zero. Huh? Zero. Zilch. If you want to go over there and read the funny papers at the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center, Anti-Defamation League and the Southern Poverty Center, anybody they list as white radicals over there, that's a fucking joke, man. Nobody's following them. They're in it for the money. They're FBI informants. They're frauds. They're con men. There's no legitimate leaders over there. They're not going any fucking place ever. They aren't fucking leaders. They aren't about the business of attempting to do what I'm doing here, and that is radicalize white people across this country, this nation, in a strictly legal way, darling. Don't you fucking know? That's okay with you, isn't it? You don't mind if I engage in some strictly legal conduct and speech here, do you? Darling! Now, I don't know who this is calling me at 3:30 in the morning, but listen. You apparently think, whoever you are, you sound like you don't mean to be harassing me. You don't sound like you're trying to disturb me. But somebody called me last night about 3:30 in the morning, and they leave their home number and ask that I call them back. It has to do with Edgar Steele. And it could be that they're not legitimate, and they are trying to harass me and fuck with me. But let's assume that you didn't intend to wake me up. That you thought, in point of fact, that when you call my number, which I don't have on my website, if I wanted you to call me at all, I'd have my telephone number up there for you to call me. That's why I put my email address up there, jimgiles@rebelarmy.com. Don't call me, especially on the first time. You want to communicate to me and tell me who you are, what you're interested in, send me a fucking email. I live in a trailer, man. Hey, I live in a goddamn trailer in the woods at the end of gravel road. Don't call me in the middle of the night. This is not, you know, some big fucking building. Like the FBI building, the federal building, which I'm going to spend a lot of time on this morning. In Jackson. New fucking building. No, we ain't got... This is not a compound. This is not terrorist-proof building. All that shit. Don't call me in the middle of the night. And don't even call me at all. If you got something on your mind, it's so urgent, you're so compelled to reach out and talk to me and touch... You know, send me a fucking email. Don't listen. You know, I'm about to get mad about it. That's just disrespectful. And while we can get confused and stuff, I was definitely mistaken. I very much think about this Cambridge boy. See, it was an auto dollar situation. But you talk about coming at you like a fucking wild man in a strictly legal way. If you mess with me and my telephone at my home, I know all the angles. Every fucking one. Telephone harassment, the FBI, the police, the local authorities, lawsuits, civil lawsuits. I will come after your fucking ass in a strictly fucking legal way if you harass me at my home over the telephone. Huh? All right, I'm trying to decide which story to go to first. Just delete this. All right. I don't even care who it is. I'm deleting the message. They left a details message. It may be somebody with Christian identity. I don't know. Don't call me in the fucking middle of the night. Deleted that. I ain't returning your goddamn call. Reduce your thoughts to writing. Communicate via script and text initially with moi. All right, let's knock out some stuff. Let's try to get a couple of interviews. All right, don't open up too much. Just looking at something here.
Newton County Sheriff's Office, County speaking. May I help you?
Yes, ma'am. This is Jim Giles with Radio Free Mississippi, and we're on the air now, and I'm trying to reach a police officer named Don Hunt for an interview.
Don Hunt?
Yes, ma'am.
Or is that Sergeant Hall?
I was given the name Don Hunt.
Well, we do have a Don Hunt, but he is a reserve officer.
Would you put in a message for him that I want to interview him?
Let me give you to the captain. Just a moment.
Thank you.
Captain Levins.
Hi, Captain Levins. Good morning. This is Jim Giles with Radio Free Mississippi. And we're on the air now, and I was calling to request a telephone interview with Don Hunt.
Don Hunt?
Yes, sir.
He's a part-time employee. He's not in the offices right now.
Can you leave a message for him that I want to interview him?
Sure.
Okay.
Hold on just a moment here, sir.
Thank you.
And it's Radio Free Mississippi?
Yes, sir.
And your name, sir?
Jim Giles, G like George, I-L-E-S.
Okay. And a phone number he can reach you at, sir?
601-939-2950.
2950?
Yes, sir. And would you please just tell him it's in regard to allegations that Martin Lindstedt is making against him and towards him?
Okay.
Do you know?
Yeah, I'm well aware of that. And Martin Lindstedt's been an issue here for years. But
Captain, let me ask you this. Since you're familiar with him, I'm not. I just interviewed him for the first time last night, and he made some really some big allegations about Don Hunt. But could you maybe share some time with me here and you give me an interview about Martin Lindstedt?
Yeah, sure, I can talk to you about Martin.
Okay. Well, you know, he basically told me that Don Hunt pushed his face into the concrete and pavement and broke his teeth, that he was, and that Don Hunt alleged that he was trying to escape. But Lindstedt says that he was shackled both at the hands and the feet, and there was no way for him to escape. That's the basic gist of what he said.
Yeah, and understanding that I wasn't there, okay, so I'm just going by what I understand from the situation. Martin was being transported to a mental facility. He was creating a disturbance when they stopped to give him a break, and was yanking around on his chains and fell. I don't believe that the officer shoved him or knocked him to the ground. I believe that Martin was being Martin and creating a disturbance, as he loves to do.
Mm-hmm. That puts a different spin on it. Have you ever not? I mean, is he being truthful when he says four of his teeth were knocked out or chipped off or something like that?
I've never seen his teeth. I mean, he's made the allegation here. We've investigated on this end, and unfortunately, our experience with Martin is not positive. Nor is it with him. It's not. It's always got a spin on it.
Mm-hmm.
I've not seen his teeth. I know he's made that claim before. He's tried to take it to Western District Court. The cases have been dismissed. You know, that's really what I can tell you about that.
How did he get incarcerated initially? Why did y'all apprehend him? He does a lot of rambling. You know, he talks mm-hmm. a lot. So I couldn't get all of it wasn't crystal clear to me, but I understood he became, and did it have to do with child molestation?
Yes. Matter of fact, I'll pull it up here and give you the DSD. I'll give you exactly what the charge was. I've had him in here several times. First degree statutory sodomy was the original charge.
That's got to be a felony, right?
Yes.
What was the disposition of that case and charge?
I believe that they've dismissed the charges now.
He was
probably incarcerated longer waiting for trial than he would have been on the, had he been found guilty. So I think they just decided to go ahead and release the charges. The prosecuting attorney's office have to tell you the reasoning on that.
Who is that? I wanted to call them and try to get an interview with them. Who was the prosecuting attorney?
The current prosecuting attorney is Jacob Scobie. Jake Scobie.
Was Mr. Scobie there when Lindstedt was charged with that sodomy?
I'm trying to think here because it was a midterm deal. I believe he was, yes, when he was charged.
One thing that pops into my head on such a horrendous charge is, why would you drop charges against anyone accused and charged with child molestation? You would want to see them convicted and sentenced to the maximum charge, and they should be on file as pedophiles and sex offenders, sexual offender list.
Mm-hmm. I'd have to let the prosecuting attorney explain that to you. I think the major issue was that the victim was a family member, and he was influenced by family after the fact
to change his story.
And the child also had some mental issues. He was a little slow.
Okay. That suggests and kind of confirms what Lindstedt told me last night, and that is the victim wouldn't cooperate in the prosecution. Maybe, is that what I'm hearing?
I wouldn't say wouldn't cooperate. I don't think he had the capability of making that. I don't know the victim directly, but I would say that most likely he was incapable of of making a decision whether to cooperate or not. It was probably more of a family decision.
What age was this child when this, do you know?
I don't know right offhand, sir.
Mm-hmm. And just moving beyond the child molestation charge, you said you had him in there more than just for that one. What were the other charges against him?
Over the years, we've had various charges of contempt of court, willfully resisting or opposing a deputy sheriff. There's some traffic stuff in here.
Does he enjoy a bad reputation there where y'all live?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad in a violent sense towards people generally. He makes a lot of threats of violence, but I've never.
See, that's what in this day and age. See, I don't understand that, because if you utter any kind of threat, you're in big time, big trouble in the world we live in today. I don't see how that gets by. That's risky.
And I don't know that. I mean, have you read his website?
No, sir, I have not.
You know, and you ought to Google him and read his website. He advocates a lot of very radical ideas, and you know, he's a unique, and I would label him as a very unique individual in some of his beliefs and ideas and how things should be done. And he's you know, he chooses his path on how he does things, he has some issues of his own. So,
mm-hmm. What about him getting into the nut house, so to speak? How did he end up there?
Well, the type of writings that he was doing, the type of as you said when you talked to him, you know, the long rambling dissertations, the inability to connect and to complete ideas. I would say that when he talked to you, he probably went off on tangents continually and couldn't.
Yes, he did. But you know, there are a lot of people out there in the public who aren't very articulate and ramble also, but they don't end up in the nut house. Was there something?
That's true, but most of them haven't been charged with a crime, and he was trying to defend himself
okay.
in court, and because of a lot of the issues he was having, they were trying to determine if he was able to represent himself.
I hear you on that score. It's
mm-hmm.
yeah. But and he said something about having been incarcerated with that charge over his head for child molestation, and said that people in the jail tried to get into his cell and kill him. And I've always heard that, you know, those sorts of inmates, they have a tough road to hoe, because the other
when you have those charges, yeah, it's difficult in a facility. Most of the child sexual charges, you know, we keep them in secure lockdown during their stay for that.
Was he kept in secure lockdown?
Generally, yes.
And so nobody was trying to get into his cell and kill him?
There was people trying to get into his cell. I mean, he was in a pod with that houses 16 inmates. I think about the time he was here, half those inmates had some type of a sexual charge against them and were in protective lockdown in that pod.
I see.
So the other inmates couldn't get to them. Now, Martin is aggressive in the way he deals with other people, verbally abusive to other people, has no respect for other people whose ideas are not the same as his, and because of that, he created a lot of problems for himself and how he was interacting with the other prisoners.
I hear you. Is he a genuinely tough guy, in your opinion, or is he all mouth?
Some of the rhetoric that he has and some of the thoughts that he believes that he claims to hold are alarming, to say the least. But I have, and while I've known him to physically resist or physically scuffle with people. I've never known him to make a direct, I'm trying to think of how to word this where it makes sense. I've never known him to, without some ongoing interaction, for him to get physically interact with anybody, unless there's some ongoing.
I guess my question is, if he were compelled to fight somebody in a bare knuckle fist fight, you know, he got crossed up, there were words said, is he going to stand there and go blow to blow, or is he going to turn and run?
I would say the latter is most probable. I don't think he could defend himself in a face to face confrontation with
somebody who knew how to fight or wanted to fight.
I'm sorry?
You say he couldn't defend himself against somebody who knew how to fight and was willing to fight.
Right. I don't think he would be prepared to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I don't think he'd be able to do that.
Captain, I'm very grateful for your time. If Mr. Hunt's willing and inclined to talk to me, I'd appreciate getting a first-hand account, because I could see how, you know, it may be totally the case that he slipped and fell to the pavement. But, you know, a lot of times when I recall movies or something, you know, where they say, oh, well, he slipped, but really he didn't slip. Somebody pushed him. So, you know, I wasn't.
And in this day and age, there's just so many cameras and video and people around. Those kind of actions are normally seen, recorded, and reported.
Was it captured this obviously wasn't captured on video, though, was it?
As far as I know, it wasn't. I'm not aware of it having been captured on video anywhere. But
was there a lot of blood? Was he taken to the hospital after that fall?
Well, he was in transport to the prison facility, so he would have received attention there.
Mm-hmm.
They would have been just as quick to get him there as they would have been to run him to a hospital room or anything like that, a hospital or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So he would have got his medical attention there.
Where y'all at in Missouri? Where y'all at in Missouri? I don't have any clue where Newton County is.
Well, if you look where Oklahoma, Kansas, and Missouri all come together, that is actually in the northwest corner of our county. That tri-state area, that tri-state juncture, is all in our county.
Mm-hmm.
We're the south part of Joplin, the south quarter of Joplin.
You consider yourself a rebel or a in between or a Yankee?
I consider myself kind of in between.
Yeah, I hear you.
Actually, border state. Ironically, Missouri was a northern state, but Neosho, our county seat, was the Confederate state capital during the war. So we're right in the middle of that.
A lot of people in Missouri like to claim their southern rebel roots, and others are just kind of, you know, it's kind of a border state, but... I'm very grateful for your time, and I wish y'all good luck up there.
Well, Jim, thank you, and I appreciate you calling to get our side of that, and I'll let Don know that you're wanting to talk with him.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Never let it be said that when I put on my journalistic cap, I can't be as respectful and scholarly as anyone out there. But we have two modes here, editorial mode and journalistic mode, and I intend to exercise my right to engage in both. And while I'm being journalistic, let me raise a local story here in Mississippi that editorially I find unacceptable. It has to do with the federal, the FBI building. And I'm somewhat confused. You know, they've got the big federal building being built in downtown Jackson, and this FBI building was just completed. And I'm just wondering why they wouldn't put the FBI building in the same federal building. That would make no sense to distance, you know. I don't know. Maybe security reasons. I don't know. Let me call up the FBI in Jackson, though, because this is the thing. This is what they're doing. Benny Thompson, he's the black congressman from the Mississippi Delta. the gerrymandered, what is that? Isn't that the second congressional district? It's gerrymandered. It goes along the Mississippi River. Most of the folks that live there are black folks. He's introduced legislation to name the federal building after none other than James Chaney, Andrew Goodman, and Michael Schwerner. And that's the name it be, the James Chaney, Andrew Goodman, and Michael Schwerner Federal Building. You hear me now? That's necessarily going to be unacceptable to me if the name remains simply that. Editorially speaking, that's fucking unacceptable. And you have no fucking clue how much that motivates me, huh? Keep on motivating me, man. Y'all have crammed James Chaney, Andrew Goodman, and Michael Schwerner down our fucking throats here in goddamn Mississippi since I was a little boy. And I'm fucking tired of hearing about it. I'm really fucking tired of hearing about it. As a matter of fact, I'm so fucking tired of hearing about it, and y'all coming with this shit this morning. Let me tell you what is necessarily going to be a component of my independent campaign for the state house here. I've been looking, trying to figure out the words to use as I approach my constituents here in House District 62. I'm going to inform them that my campaign is dedicated to little white 9-year-old Charlotte Parker. That's going to be a principal component of my campaign for House District 62. It's going to be dedicated to little white 9-year-old Charlotte Parker, who was raped vaginally and anally, shot 3 times, but died of smoke inhalation along with the rest of her family. That is her older brother, who was 12 or 14, her mother and father, on February 2nd, 1990. My House District campaign is going to be dedicated to little white 9-year-old Charlotte Parker. You going to talk about Schwerner, Goodman, and Chaney? I'm going to be talking about Charlotte Parker. I'll try not to get mad too quick because I have some phone calls to make and I don't want to hurt my eardrums. All right, let's start calling some people because let's do some journalistic investigation. So let's call the FBI first in Jackson.
FBI Jackson.
Good morning. This is Jim Giles with Radio Free Mississippi, and we're on the air now, and I'm seeking an interview with someone at the FBI in regard to your new building and the name that you're going to name your new...
Hold on just a moment, please.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is Deborah Madden. I will be out of the office on Friday, June 18th, but I'll be back on Monday. Please leave me your name, number, and a brief message, and I'll call you back as soon as I can. If this is a media question, please ask the switchboard to contact Special Agent Ty Breedlove. Thank you very much. Bye.
FBI.
Yes, ma'am. This is Jim Giles again with Radio Free Mississippi, and we're still on the air. I received Deborah Madden's phone mail message, and she said if it's media question to ask the switchboard for Ty, and I couldn't Ty Breedlove.
Okay, I know. Hold on just a moment, please.
Thank you.
The person at extension 7567 is not available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone.
Good morning. This is Jim Giles with Radio Free Mississippi. I'm calling to request a telephone interview with the FBI here in Jackson about your new building that you are in now or plan to move into, the name. My phone number is 601-939-2950, and Deborah Madden referred me to a special agent in charge, or Ty Breedlove. I'm sorry I didn't fully understand the name, but again, my name's Jim Giles with Radio Free Mississippi. My phone number is 601-939-2950, and I'm seeking an interview about the name of the new FBI building in Jackson. Thank you. All right. Who else? I mean, that federal building down there. Let's call the courthouse. Let me see if I can't get an interview. United States Government Justice Department, FBI. Well, hopefully this special agent will call me back here. Who else could I call down there who would know about this? Where's Echelon? See, I don't even know where Echelon Parkway is, but they've got a map here. That's the Capitol Street location. All right, let's call the Mississippi Congressional Delegation now. Hopefully there's a page out there that has all our representatives, so-called, listed on one page so I don't have to look them up individually. Mississippi Congressional Delegation. There we go. United States Congressional Delegations from Mississippi. United States Senate. This is historic. I'm looking for current. That's not a good page. First, second, third, fourth. Just for your information. See, this is dated too. That's not correct. Let me look for another page. Member website. Listing by state. All right, let me just run them down one at a time. Ain't nothing easy. Let's try to reach Travis Childers first. He's the congressman for the... No, I don't want that one. Some kind of form. What I need is the switchboard up there.
Winston Childers' office. I'm going to help you.
Yes, this is Jim Giles with Radio Free Mississippi, and we're on the air now. I was calling to request a telephone interview with Congressman Childers.
Well, unfortunately, the congressman is not available. He's in Mississippi.
Is there a number here in Ole Mississippi that I can reach him at?
You can try calling our Tupelo office, but I know that they're not open as of yet.
Okay. Can I leave a detailed message with you in regard to the gist of the interview request?
Or
sure. Might there be somebody else I could speak with? I had some basic questions about the federal building, the FBI building, the naming down here in Jackson.
Okay, can you hold just one moment?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so I can take down your message.
Okay. My name is Jim Giles, G like George, I-L-E-S.
Okay.
And I'm with Radio Free Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And the Clarion Ledger down here has promoted that the federal FBI building be named Schwerner, Goodman, and Cheney. I have a different editorial position than the Clarion Ledger, and I'm calling to ask Congressman Childers, would he consider including Charlotte Parker's name on the building?
Okay.
And that's P-A-R-K-E-R. That's her last name, and her first name is Charlotte.
All right. Well, I will certainly pass that message on to the congressman.
And my phone number is area code 601-939-2950.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. I'll pass that on.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I think necessarily Charlotte Parker's name needs to be on the FBI federal building in Jackson. Don't you? All right, that's the first congressional district. Let's go to the 3rd Congressional District. That's Greg Harper. See, something funky's happening at his website. I'm going to have to remember 202-225-5031.
Congressman Harper's office is speaking.
Good morning. This is Jim Giles with Radio Free Mississippi, and we're on the air now, and I was calling to request a telephone interview with Congressman Harper.
Hold on one second. Let me see if he's available.
Thank you.
Hello?
Congressman Harper?
Congressman Harper is not in Washington right now.
Okay. Can I leave a detailed message with you?
Sure.
My name is Jim Giles, G like George, I-L-E-S.
Okay.
And I'm with Radio Free Mississippi.
All right.
And I'm taking a different editorial position than is the Clarion Ledger here in Jackson. They've promoted the federal FBI building be named after Schwerner, Goodman, and Cheney. And I was calling to request Congressman Harper include Charlotte Parker's name on the building.
I will share that message with him.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You will note and detect in the young lad's voice when I initially called, I said, "This is Jim Giles. I'm with Radio Free Mississippi, and we're on the air now. And I'm calling to request a telephone interview with Congressman Harper." Immediately, they snapped to attention. They're trained. Anytime the media calls. Now, I'm not trying to pick on Congressman Harper, but this is the nature of the beast. If the media, and see, they don't know yet. Everyone out there is not yet fully aware of my editorial position. They assume my editorial position is with the others. The only editorial position approved of in this country, in this nation today, is the pro-nigger and the pro-Jew editorial position. See, my editorial position is diametrically opposed to that editorial position. I'm anti-Jew and anti-nigger here at Radio Free Mississippi. But I engage in journalism just like anyone else, and I would contend I do an above average job. I'm respectful. I don't use profanity in any of my guests' presence unless I kind of get the sense that they don't mind. But I don't do it a lot. The point is this. Anytime an elected official hears media, they assume the pro-Jew, pro-nigger editorial position. And of course, I'm anti-Jew, anti-nigger. Get it? Got it? Got it, boy? All right, that's the third. Let's go to the fourth congressional district. That's Taylor, down on the coast. Gene Taylor. It's funny when I see his office stretches all the way up to Hattiesburg. That's the northern portion of his of the 4th Congressional District, Washington office. Okay, here we go.
Congressman Taylor's office, how can I help you?
Good morning. This is Jim Giles with Radio Free Mississippi, and we're on the air now, and I was calling to request a telephone interview with Congressman Taylor.
Hold on 1 second, sir.
Thank you.
Sir, let me transfer you to the guy who sort of handles this press stuff. Will you hold on 1 second, sir?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Hi, you've reached the voicemail of Ethan Raven in the office of Congressman Gene Taylor. Please leave a message, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thank you very much.
This is Jim Giles with Radio Free Mississippi. My phone number is 601-939-2950. I'm calling to request a telephone interview with Congressman Taylor in regard to the naming of the federal FBI building in Jackson. the Clarion Ledger has promoted Schwerner, Goodman, and Cheney. Radio Free Mississippi's editorial position is different, and we're asking Congressman Taylor to include Charlotte Parker's name on that building as well. Thank you very much. All right, let's go to Congressman Taylor's office. He's the first. He's in the first congressional district. And it's gerrymandered big time there, boy. Runs along like the Mississippi River. I used to fish off the Mississippi River. And what are called oxbow lakes. Caught many a fish with a cane pole, minnow and cricket, and red worm. It's a lot of fun getting a fish on the end of a cane pole. You ever caught a fish with a cane pole? Huh? Let's see who this is. This is Jim Giles.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Southern Initiative Incorporated.
Yes, who's speaking, please?
Well, my name is Mike from your local online directory.
Listen, do me a great favor. I'm glad you called. Now that I've got you on the phone, would you please remove my telephone number from your call list?
Sir, this is something that you already have, okay?
Again, I'm very grateful for your call, and I appreciate it very much, and I appreciate you removing my number from your call list.
Okay, I'll do it right now. Okay?
Thank you very much. Okay, having been a salesman in days gone by, notice how friendly and cheerful I am with a colleague. I mean, he's just trying to sell, right? That's all he's trying to do. He's trying to sell you. I ain't buying. And, you know, any good salesman's eager to get a note. Don't waste a salesman's time, right?
Thank you for calling Congressman Benny Thompson's office. How can I help you?
Good morning. This is Jim Giles with Radio Free Mississippi, and we're on the air now, and I was calling to request a telephone interview with Congressman Thompson.
The congressman is actually not in.
Could I leave a detailed message with you?
Sure.
Okay. My name is Jim Giles, G like George, I-L-E-S.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm with Radio Free Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And I am calling in regard to the naming of the federal FBI building in Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Radio Free Mississippi's editorial position is different than the Clarion Ledger down here. We're asking that the building, the name of the building, also include the name of Charlotte Parker.
Mm-hmm.
And would Congressman Thompson adjust his proposed legislation to include Charlotte Parker's name on the building as well?
Okay. And, like, are you requesting an interview with the congressman?
Yes, ma'am. On that very subject.
Okay. And what's your telephone number?
601. 939-2950.
Okay. What I'm going to do is I'm going to transfer you over to the Committee on Homeland Security, which is where the Congressman's Press Secretary's office is.
Okay.
And he is the person that sits of anything, you know, any type of interview.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
And his name is Lanier A. Vance.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
Committee on Homeland Security.
Good morning. This is Jim Giles with Radio Free Mississippi, and we're on the air now, and I was calling to request a telephone interview with Congressman Thompson in regard to the naming of the federal FBI building in Jackson. Our editorial position here at Radio Free Mississippi differs than the Clarion Ledger, and we're asking quite simply for Congressman Thompson to include Charlotte Parker's name on the building, along with Mr. Schwerner, Mr. Goodman, and Mr. Cheney.
Did you already call his main office, or did you just call the committee?
I called the main office, and they transferred me to you.
Okay. with the new FBI building?
Yes, sir.
Okay, what were the names?
Charlotte Parker, simply. We're asking Congressman Thompson to include Charlotte Parker's name on the building.
Okay. I thought you named a couple. They're already on there.
Well, Congressman Thompson has proposed and submitted legislation to have, I don't know their first names, but it's Schwerner, Goodman, and Cheney, that would be the name of the FBI building. And somebody else has suggested an FBI agent, maybe more. And what I'm doing is simply saying, rather than more, let's you include more as well, but also include Charlotte Parker's name on the building along with the other names.
Yes, sir. I will transfer that message to him.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
Bye-bye. All right, now let's call up the FBI Agents Association. I'm sure since they're gentlemen that they won't mind insisting that Charlotte Parker's name be included with the name of the agent that they want on the front of the building. That's the FBI Agents Association. They probably have a website. Let's check and see. What do you say? FBI Agents Association for Active Duty FBI Agents and Former Agents. Yep, they got a website. But before I go there, I'm going to finish up with the entire congressional delegation. Let's include our two United States Senators. What do you say? Where's the phone number? I'm at Thad Cochran's page. Contact me. Okay. Where's the phone number? U.S. Senate. I'm going to just call the U.S. Senate. This is ridiculous. You go to United States Senator's homepage and he doesn't even have his phone number on the bottom of the page. He don't want to hear from you. That's a given. U.S. Senate. Where's the phone number? Let's see if they do any better. Here we go. Switchboard 202-224-3121. Before I call, let me just see if Cochran wasn't the one. Thad Cochran and Roger Wicker announced an agreement to push for passage of the legislation to also include Special Agent Roy K. Moore's name. Stop. Now, wasn't that nice of Mr. Cochran and Mr. Wicker? They're really looking out for us here in Mississippi, are they not? You can't call. They're really local boys. They're hometown boys. Heck, I just get a warm and fuzzy feeling knowing that they thought enough of Mr. Moore. But, I don't want to disclude and exclude Mr. Moore. Just keep his name up there. But let's just simply ask these gentlemen in a respectful, nice way to include Charlotte Parker's name on that building. Otherwise, somebody might get the wrong idea that it's only niggers being killed here in Mississippi. So you might, if they name the FBI building after Schwerner, Goodman, and Cheney, some dumb fucking fool out there is liable to say, well, goddamn, the only fucking crime in this goddamn state that's racial, it's whites killing fucking niggers. That ain't the fucking situation, you dumb son of a bitch! That's why I want Charlotte Parker's name on the building. That way they'll know that the fucking niggers are the ones doing the real killing. They're the violent motherfuckers. They're goddamn hyenas. See, it will be a public service by putting Charlotte Parker's name up there on that fucking FBI federal building. Don't you fucking know? Yeah, they push for it.
Capital.
Thad Cochran, please.
Good morning, Senator Cochran's office. May I help you?
Good morning. This is Jim Giles with Radio Free Mississippi, and we're on the air now, and I was calling to request a telephone interview with Mr. Cochran in regard to the naming of the federal FBI building here in Jackson.
All right, let me transfer you to our communication director. 1 second.
Thank you.
Senator Thad Cochran's office, may I help you?
Good morning. This is Jim Giles with Radio Free Mississippi. And we're on the air now, and I was calling to request a telephone interview with Mr. Cochran in regard to the naming of the federal FBI building here in Jackson.
I'll have to check with the senator and see what his schedule's like. Can I get your number, Mr. Giles?
Yes, sir. It's 601-939-2950.
Okay.
And just a tidbit of background, I noticed where Senator Cochran and Senator Wicker are proposing that Roy K. Moore's name be included along with Schwerner, Goodman, and Cheney. And I've read, you know, many articles down here in Jackson. The Clarion Ledger has promoted that. Our editorial position here at Radio Free Mississippi is different than the Clarion Ledger, and we're simply asking that Senator Cochran include Charlotte Parker's name on the building as well.
Okay. Who is she?
She is a 9-year-old girl who was raped and shot but died of smoke inhalation in Quitman County in 1990 along with the rest of her family, an older brother and her mother and father.
Okay. Well, I can let the senator know about that. If you for your radio interview, how much time are you looking for? And
as little as 5 or 10 minutes. I know the senator's busy, so I wouldn't ask for a lot of time. If he's able to give me more, I would certainly welcome it. But I think we can get to the quick of the matter in a hurry. But I'm willing and able to discuss this issue because it's really. Really a sore spot with me and I think a lot of Mississippians that so much emphasis be placed on the killing of Schwerner, Goodman, and Cheney, which was wrong, illegal, and I oppose, and I'm glad and hope that anybody affiliated with that crime would be brought to justice. However, there's no mention of victims out there like Charlotte Parker. No one knows who Charlotte Parker is. And that's a more recent crime than the ancient, historic crime back in the 60s of Schwerner, Goodman, and Cheney. So if the FBI is really interested in presenting the picture to Mississippians that crime, regardless of the originator, is going to be brought to justice and not just one flavor of crime, that white racist crime, it suggests that white racist crime is the preeminent threat here in Mississippi, and I simply, that's not my sense of things.
Okay. I understand. So what kind of time period, what part?
I don't have a deadline, but the naming of this building, I don't know where we're at in the legislation. It's in the House now. The Senate always has an opportunity, do they not, to alter legislation?
The bill is passed the House, and it's pending in a Senate committee right now.
So it's still modifiable, I would think.
Yes, sir.
And what better time to try to modify it in a positive, without, you know, hurling insults. I don't want to. Let's just all be nice and friendly and get along, and just include our little white 9-year-old Charlotte Parker's name up there as well.
Okay. Well, let me pass this message along.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
All right. Let's call Mr. Wicker.
U.S. Capitol.
Roger Wicker, please.
Senator Wicker's office.
Good morning. This is Jim Giles with Radio Free Mississippi, and we're on the air now, and I was calling to request a telephone interview with Mr. Wicker in regard to the naming of the federal FBI building in Jackson.
Put you on hold 1 second.
Thank you.
Hello.
Yes, hello. Good morning.
Morning.
This is Jim Giles with Radio Free Mississippi, and we're on the air now, and I was calling to request a telephone interview with Senator Wicker in regard to the naming of the federal FBI building in Jackson.
I'm sorry, he's unavailable.
Would you ask that when he becomes unavailable that he consider an interview with me?
I will put your request through.
All right, let me just add just a tidbit more of information so the senator fully understands where I'm coming from.
I know who you are, Mr. Giles. You don't have to explain.
Yes, but this issue is different. It's in regard to the promotion of the Clarion Ledger down here in regard to the naming of Schwerner, Goodman, and Cheney, putting that name up there. Ours is a simple request that Charlotte Parker's name be included on the building as well.
All right. If you would submit that in writing to our office, I'd appreciate it.
Do you have an email where I could do that?
Sure. Our website is wicker.senate.gov.
Right.
And there's a contact information on there.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, let's do that. Right now. You're not there. Roger Wicker. Where's the contact? Contact, contact. Contact, all right. Email Senator Wicker. It's a form. What's the limit? Characters remaining. What's that? 10,000? I don't know how many you can get in there. Prefix, Mr. First name, Jim. Last name, Giles. Address, 173 Pear Lane, Pearl, Mississippi. Last time I gave out my name and address and phone number was to the Mossad. Don't you just rip and love it. 601-939-2950. Email jimgiles@rebelarmy.com. Subject. And the alternatives are abortion, agriculture, Defense and Veteran Affairs, Economy, Education, Energy, Environment and Animal Welfare, Foreign Affairs, Healthcare, Homeland Security and Immigration, Judicial Crime, Civil Rights, Labor, Miscellaneous, Religious Freedom. It's going to be Judicial Crime, Civil Rights. Mr. Wicker. Comma. Please submit legislation to include Charlotte Parker's name on the new federal FBI building. All right, stop. Now in regard to informing him as to who Charlotte Parker was, now, how do I word that? Let me just briefly state. Charlotte Parker was raped vaginally, anally, shot 3 times. And died of smoke inhalation in 1990 in Quitman County, Mississippi. Yours truly, Jim Giles. All right. Do a spell check. Address? A misspelled address? Where's that? ADD. Whitman, that's okay. Mr. Jim Giles, 173-392-08. Mr. Wicker, please submit legislation to include Charlotte Parker's name on the new federal FBI building in Jackson, Mississippi. Charlotte Parker was raped vaginally, anally, shot 3 times, and died of smoke inhalation in 1990 in Quitman County, Mississippi. Yours truly, Jim Giles. Let me send that away. See who this is? Probably a wrong number. This is Jim Giles. This is Jim Giles. Well, I guess they're not interested. See, you get a call like that, you know, I'm calling so many people, so they'll call in. They're just seeing what's going on. I don't know. You never know. Anyway, they might have been trying to reach Walmart. I share a number that's very similar to Walmart. All right, now let's go to the FBI Agents Association, because I'm sure the former agents, being seasoned lawmen, they will perceive immediately the gist of my request and appreciate the sentiment and how very right and balanced. See, this would be a genuine compromise. The Clarion Ledger talks about compromise in the article. Well, you want people to feel good, then include Charlotte Parker's name on the building. All right, member services. Where's your phone number? See, I'm at the FBI Agents Association. This is the lobby group. That's the way America works now. Everybody's got a lobby, except white people. White people ain't got a lobby. Yet.
Good morning, FBIAA.
Good morning. This is Jim Giles with Radio Free Mississippi, and we're on the air now, and I'm calling to request a telephone interview with someone there at your group, especially in regard to the naming of the federal FBI building in Jackson.
I'm sorry, our administrator is out of the office, and our there is no one here from the executive board at this moment.
Could you take a detailed message for me, please?
Sure.
Ready?
Yes.
My name is Jim Giles, G like George, I-L-E-S.
Okay.
And I'm with Radio Free Mississippi.
Okay.
And my phone number is 601-939-2950.
Okay.
And I'm calling to talk with y'all about the naming of the federal FBI building here in Jackson. Y'all are promoting that Special Agent Roy K. Moore's name be included on that building.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm simply, my editorial position differs from the local paper and the local media down here. They promoted Schwerner, Goodman, and Cheney's name beyond the building, which I have no problem with, but my editorial position is different here. And we're suggesting and asking everyone involved in the naming of the building to include Charlotte Parker's name on the building.
Okay. What I'll have, are you available early next week?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I will have someone, I will pass your message on and have someone in touch with you next week.
I sure appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, who else? You know, this y'all going to be y'all worst enemy. When I go out door to door, when I talk to people in my campaign, it's going to be dedicated to Charlotte Parker, and by no means is she the only white person who's been viciously killed by modern-day niggers. They're legion. I mean, there are just so many out there. So, so very many. Charlotte Parker, that's unacceptable. You know, part of the jargon, or rather part of the rhetoric when I communicate with people, up front is going to be, I'm running for House District 62. This campaign is for little white 9-year-old Charlotte Parker, who was killed in 1998, or rather in 1990, that she was raped vaginally and anally, shot 3 times, but died of smoke inhalation at the hands of 2 niggers. That's why I'm mounting an anti-Jew and an anti-nigger campaign. All right, let's switch gears. I've got to put together a deep high body. One of my nukes out there, it's bursting at the seams. And dang it, you know, even though we're beyond swarm time, I don't want to take a risk. I need to see that they've only got 5 frames. I've got to get a deep high body out there and give them 5 extra frames. All right, let me call my vet real quick. Hopefully he can get to me today. If not, then, you know, early next week. Got to dehorn Napoleon and Josephine. I don't know why that happens.
All About Animals, this is Gerilyn.
Hi, Gerilyn. This is Jim Giles. I was trying to see if Dr. Holyfield can dehorn my jerseys today.
All right, hold on just a minute.
Thank you.
Hello.
Dr. Holyfield.
Hey.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good. Well, that's pretty neat you taking care of them chimpanzees down at the Jackson Zoo.
Yeah. It's a new adventure every day I go down there.
I'd be scared them suckers would bite me.
How'd you know about that?
Your lady told me.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Are you set up now?
I still ain't. I'm still working on it. I mean, we don't have it all totally put together yet. The main thing I'm waiting on now is my electrician to come and hook all the power back up to the chute.
It's not going to be too long, though, is it? You pretty close?
I'm hoping not. I thought I'd have it done by now, but, you know, so now I'm hoping for the first of the week. But
I've got that bull pinned up, and, boy, he's ready to come out of there. Is it pretty sure early next week or middle of next week we can get it done?
Well, I mean, I guess if all else fails, if I can't, you know, obviously we could get him to go somewhere else, you know. You said you're on 49?
Off 49 in Richland.
I mean, because the other option would be, you know, I got a buddy of mine named Collins that's got the same, you know, he's got a setup and all where you could take something and drop it off and he could do it there.
Is he $15 a head, too?
I don't know. I'd have to ask him. But, I mean, for just dehorning them, I don't know what he gets. I'd have to ask him. Usually he's a little bit higher than me, but not.
To be honest, I like you better already. I like your proximity, and, you know, I'd like for you to take a look at these calves. And,
yeah.
You know, they've never had a shot before, too. Maybe they need something, you know, once. I don't know what kind of health maintenance they need, but while I've got them in there, I'd just like for you to give them a good once-over.
Yeah, usually we vaccinate them and deworm them and all that good stuff, just like anything else. And
How much is that?
And like I said, any other time, you know, but with this new clinic, we just built this place, and we're getting in it, and I'm just now, you know, we got the small animal side going, and now I started working on getting the large animal together, and I've got most of it together. Like I said, the biggest thing is the electrician, and I'll try to call him again today and see what the deal is, why he hasn't come.
I'm gonna wait on you.
All right. Did you talk to one of the guys about hauling them, or what did you decide?
There's a guy. Do you know Sammy Winder? He sells trailers on 49 on 55 South. They're off the frontage road. You know him?
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
They rent a trailer, and I was going to rent a trailer from him and haul the jerseys down there like that.
Right.
It only costs $90 to rent that trailer, and I don't think either one of those boys could haul it for less than $90, could they?
I don't know. You just have to ask them. You know, I don't know what they'd get to come over there and haul them and bring them back for you.
Kerry hauled two bull calves to Wilson's for me, and he charged me like $110. So I was figuring if he charged me $110 for those two, it'd be real close to that.
Right. Yeah, like I said, I don't even know. You'd have to talk to them. I don't know what they get.
And how much is it for vaccination and deworming, you know, so I know what I'm looking at there?
Oh, when we're deworming, you're probably looking at, $3 or $4 a head, and vaccinating them, you're looking at, you know, $5 or $6 a head probably.
Definitely, I want to get that done. And now that I've established communication with you, I'm going to just wait until your electrician's finished and stuff.
I'm working on it, so hopefully by sometime the first of the week we'll be done if I can get him out here. But just check back with me. Don't get discouraged.
I won't.
We're going to get it done one way or the other.
I like Crystal Springs down there a lot better than Collins anyway.
All right. Well, sounds good.
Thank you.
Well, just stay in touch. All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye. All right. Collins is too fast down through there. Crystal Springs, it's a lot slower. I like things slow. Slow down, boy. I'm a Mayberry RFD type person. Don't you know? That's why I go all the way down to Brookhaven to get my hair cut. Not to mention there are pretty girls up in there. All right, we got that done. We've got that done. All right, what else? Let's take a look at the Edgar Steele case. You know, I saw, and I'll just be honest, I know a lot of y'all don't like him, but I'm on Harold Covington's email list, and he sent something out with a link that's rather compelling, and it has to do with, let me just read it. Let me see if I can't pull that up exactly so I can cite, you know, where it's coming from, the source. CDA Press looks like that's going to be the name of the site. CDAPress.com, and the title is Aryan Attorney Indicted in Murder for Hire Case. Start Coeur d'Alene. A grand jury indicted on Tuesday, or rather, start. A grand jury indictment on Tuesday was returned in U.S. District Court against an attorney known for representing hate groups like the Aryan Nations, setting the stage for a high-profile murder-for-hire trial. Stop. See, that's what the nigger Jew media does. They tarnish. It's hate. It's not a legitimate political position to be, you know, use the word you want. But those people are racial. See, what the nigger Jew media is suggesting is that they're not racial. What the nigger Jew media is suggesting when they describe Mr. Steele as a hate lawyer, they're suggesting that niggers and Jews don't hate. Because keep in mind, Jews have nigger blood in them. That's a simple way of putting it. See, I like simple, direct speech. There are very few people out there who just fucking, you know, just belly up to the fucking bar and tell it how it fucking is. I mean, there's so much goddamn bullshit out there. But see, you know, that's why our editorial position here at Radio Free Mississippi differs from the nigger Jew media. This is another prime example. If we were writing, we don't write here at Radio Free Mississippi, or to the extent we do write, it's very minimal. We speak here at Radio, it's audio here at Radio Free Mississippi. It's the theater of the mind, darling. Didn't you know that? Huh? If we were to write, and if, you know, let's just, audio broadcast, and the, undoubtedly the radio broadcast out there and the TV broadcast out there, they utter this word hate because they're the nigger Jew media. They're pro-nigger and they're pro-Jew. So they try to tarnish and attack white people. They're niggers and Jews. That's what niggers and Jews do, darling. See, this is a boot camp, so y'all stick with me here. I know y'all are fat, semi-retarded, and handicapped. But niggers and Jews run the media. They hate you. They hate white people. Niggers and Jews hate white people. So the way they exhibit that hate is that when they talk about anyone out there who's racial the way they are, because, didn't you know, darling, follow me now. I'm going to slow down so you can comprehend this. Sit down. Go get a glass of water. Breathe in. Take a deep breath. Gain control of your faculties. Relax. Pretend like all is well. Are you comfortable? In with the good air. Out with the bad. All right. Let me explain the facts of life to you. A very simple fact that you appear to be unaware of. This is a fact. There's so much out there that, you know, sometimes simple fundamental facts are overlooked to your detriment. Okay, let me give you a simple fundamental fact that you can act on daily. You can think about, you can pray about. Are you listening? It's a multifaceted. I mean, there are a couple of simple facts I'm going to throw your way. First of all, niggers and Jews hate your motherfucking ass. They hate you. They want to fucking kill you. Hell, they are killing you. With their wars, the Jews, with their guns, knives. That's, you know, when they come into your home and rob, rape, and kill you, that's what niggers do. They hate you. They target you because you are white. Now, you can disagree with that. And to the extent you disagree with the notion that niggers and Jews hate your motherfucking white ass, well, your ass is, you know, it's in a lot of trouble. It's in jeopardy. You're in harm's way, more or less. And to the extent you continue to think well of niggers and Jews, well, you put yourself in jeopardy. So I'm trying to communicate a thought to you, an idea here that you might pray about and think about, and that is that niggers and Jews hate you because you're white. See, because niggers and Jews, they aren't white. Their genetics are non-white. That's right. Jews are, they've got nigger blood in them. That's a simple way of putting it. You know, you can go all the way around the barn. A lot of smart people, nobody's ever said that in such simple terms as I have. I've never heard anybody put it more simply than that. Jews have nigger blood in them. Huh? How about that? How about that for a simple Sunday school lesson? Let's make that holy. Let's make that a central theme. That way, when you get out, move around, talk, act, interact, vote, and more to the point, when you go to the ballot box, when you vote, you might want to keep in mind that niggers and Jews hate your motherfucking white ass. That Jews, in point of fact, have nigger blood in them. I mean, I know that's kind of harsh, and I wish I could say it in a nicer way, but I just, you know, lack those oratory skills. And more to the fucking point, I ain't interested in saying it in a nice way. I'm interested in turning you into a strictly legal political radical. That's what our fucking effort here is at Radio Free Mississippi. And necessarily, we're going to have to find a hardcore nucleus first. I just need a tidbit to get me over the hump. I'm about to just need a tidbit. Tidbit of tune. We need Big Bad Johns. I know you're out there. I'm going to find you.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John. Big Bad John. Nobody seemed to know where John called home. He just drifted into town and stayed all alone. He didn't say much, he kind of quiet and shy. And if you spoke at all, you just said hi to Big John. Somebody said he came from New Orleans, where he got in a fight over a Cajun queen and a crashing blow from a huge right hand sent a Louisiana fella to the promised land, Big John. Big Bad John. Then came the day at the bottom of the mine when a timber cracked and men started crying. Miners were praying and hearts beat fast, and everybody thought that they'd breathed their last, except John. Through the dust and the smoke of this man-made hell walked a giant of a man that the miners knew well, grabbed a sagging timber and gave out with a groan, and like a giant oak tree just stood there alone, Big John.
Stood there alone. You know, it takes courage, man. Not everybody's got that kind of courage.
Big Bad John. And with all of his strength, he gave a mighty shove. Then a miner yelled out, "There's a light up above." And 20 men scrambled from a would-be grave. And now there's only one left down there to save, Big John. With Jackson timbers, they started back down. Then came that rumble way down in the ground. And the smoke and gas belched out of that mine. Everybody knew it was the end of the line for Big John. Big Bad John. Now they never reopened that worthless pit. They just placed a marble stand in front of it. These few words are written on that stand: at the bottom of this mine lies a big, big man, Big John. Big Bad John.
All right, back to this CDA Press and Edgar Steele. Start. The attorney, 64-year-old Edgar J. Steele, is accused of hiring a hitman to kill Steele's wife, 53-year-old Cindy Steele, and her mother. Stop. Okay, that's news. I didn't know she's 53, or so says this. Maybe she's 53. Probably 53. Start. Edgar Steele, stop. So she's basically 10 years younger. start. Stop. And two, with a younger wife, you would think, you know, he ought to be happy with a wife 10 years his junior. But oh, so much of this depends on that relationship, right? Of course, that's a given. Start. Edgar Steele was arrested at his Sagal home Friday and made his first appearance in federal court Tuesday in front of Judge Candy W. Dale. Dale said the grand jury decided on one count of use of interstate commerce facilities in the commission for murder for hire. If found guilty, etc. Steele acted as his own attorney Tuesday, telling the court he remains a licensed attorney. Quote, "My plea is absolutely, completely not guilty," close quote, Steele told the court. Stop. That's an interesting plea. Now, he's had a chance to think about what he's going to do. But it's interesting, Mr. Seabee said he didn't think he'd ever tried a criminal case in his life. That would be an interesting question to find out. I mean, an answer to that question would be interesting. He's a civil attorney, it looks like. You know, it'd be interesting to know. I know the answer already. Any criminal defense lawyer worth his salt, he would never. I don't think any criminal defense lawyer, if he got in this situation that Steele's in, I can't envision any criminal defense lawyer not hiring somebody else to represent them. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I don't know. How many times has any other criminal defense lawyer been charged with a crime? I don't know. It's just dumb, stupid, big time. And this business about the federal government took all his funds, well, I don't understand that either. Heck, maybe his wife will hire an attorney. Let's check Pacer real quick and see if there are any developments in the case. Find a case. Case locator. Paste case locator. Log in. Criminal. I can't remember what circuit that is. Just do all format. Last name is ST Steel. Okay. All right, let's do a docket report. They still have Mr. Seabee listed as an attorney. They also have Kimberly Ann Dieter listed. Let's just call her real quick and see maybe what she can tell us.
You have reached the Federal Defenders of Eastern Washington and Idaho. We accept all collect calls. Para Español, oprime uno. You have reached us after our normal business hours, which are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. If you would like to leave a message for the person you are trying to reach...
Well, it's after 8 a.m. They're just not answering their phone. Let's see if there are any developments, though. 611, 615, 615, 617. There's a redaction. Docket text procedural order. Indictment, docket, text, criminal procedure. Jury trial set for 8/16/2010. Unlikely that'll be a court date. Affidavit in support of a criminal complaint. Special Agent Michael P. Sotke, after being duly sworn, deposes and states as follows. 1. I have been employed by the Federal Bureau of Investigation since August 1999. I am currently assigned to the Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, resident agency of the FBI, Salt Lake City, etc. As part of my duties, I investigate violent crimes as they relate to any violation of federal laws. Now, immediately, some technocrats, to the extent they wanted to examine my promotion of putting Charlotte Parker's name on the federal FBI building, they would say, well, that's not a federal crime. Or, fuck you, motherfucker. Huh? It's just going to be fucking unacceptable. Now, you know, they always say in politics or something, when it comes to an issue, you can keep it as an issue, or you can, I forget exactly how you say, but I'm going to project ahead in time, and I'm going to anticipate that the congressman involved, the senators involved, the FBI association involved, that they're not going to do the right thing here. They're not going to consider and reflect upon Radio Free Mississippi's editorial position that Charlotte Parker's name be put up on that FBI federal building, along with Schwerner, Goodman, and Cheney, and maybe more. And since y'all are not going to do that, you're going to provoke me into responding. That's a provocative act on your part. It's an unacceptable act also. You expose yourself when you do shit like that. Didn't you know? See, there's going to be a moment. What do you call it? A watershed moment. A trigger moment. That's just going to cause the shit to hit the fan. People are taking it left and right out there right now. Bad economy and crime to boot, and the nigger Jew media shit. All that stuff percolating out there. That's why you all over these hateful people, aren't you? But I tell you what, it's going to be my mission to make sure that every last fucking Mississippian knows who Charlotte Parker and her family was. So don't put her name up on that building. You'll regret it. You'll regret it. I assure you, you're going to regret it. In a strictly legal way, you're going to regret putting those niggers' name up on that building, and not little white 9-year-old Charlotte Parker's name up on that building. That's just so fucking wrong that even fat, semi-retarded, and handicapped people, they'll get a sense of things, and they're going to start to resent it. They're going to resent the fact that they, without a job, barely getting by, and they got to put up with all this nigger shit. Because there's a lot of nigger shit in Mississippi. A lot of fucking niggers, you know, everywhere. And people dress up their racism. They avoid niggers. Nobody likes to be around niggers. Trust me on that. If you're confused, your confusion is rooted in the fact you've never been around a fucking nigger before. Again, just simple language on my part. Start. Prior to employment with the FBI, I was employed by the whatever Ohio Police Department from December 94 to 99. While employed by the Euclid Police Department, I was assigned to the Patrol Division. This affidavit is being submitted in support of a criminal complaint against Edgar J. Steele for the use of interstate commerce facilities in the commission of murder for hire in violation of 18 U.S.C. Section 1958. I believe probable cause exists to show that Steele committed a crime as set forth below. Stop. Now, this may be an old affidavit. Maybe the Nigger Jew media up there is aware of it, but I don't know. Let me just continue to read and see what this special agent has to say. Start. On June 9th, 2010. Stop. That weren't very long ago. Stop. Stop, stop, stop. Now, follow me now. I'm in paragraph 4 of this affidavit. This special agent in this affidavit, they're listing this next party by initial only. They do so CW-1, CW-1. Now, is the intrigue even increasing more here? Is this a confidential somebody? C? Does C stand for confidential? I don't know what W would stand for. One. I mean, do they have more than more? I don't know. Start. On June 9th, 2010, CW-1 met with Special Agent Mike Sotka and Task Force Officer Dan O'Dell regarding a murder-for-hire plot. During this meet, CW-1 agreed to assist the FBI with investigating the murder-for-hire plot. CW-1 has no prior criminal convictions and has received $500 in cash for travel expenses. Stop. So this person is a paid informant. Start. Five. CW-1 advised that she has known Edgar Steele for approximately 20 years and has done several work projects for Edgar Steele. Stop. This sounds like Fairfax. But maybe it's not. Hell, I don't know. Approximately 6 months ago, while CW-1 was working for Edgar Steele, Edgar Steele brought up a conversation regarding a list of people that Edgar Steele wanted killed. Stop. Anybody who does that's a fucking idiot. I mean, come on, man. And this guy's a civil lawyer. Now, that could be total horseshit. Maybe this is all fabrication. But, wow, what a whopper. What a fucking whopper here. I don't know how you prove this. I would put, see, you know, ultimately, if he's going to argue this at trial now, at trial, Steele would necessarily have a right to cross-examine those who are accusing him and the basis for the, you know, et cetera. On the list of people that Edgar Steele wanted killed were his wife, C.S., and C.S.'s mother, believed to be J.K. J.K. Hell, I wonder who else was on that list. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, if you're to believe this, who else would he put on the fucking list? It'd be interesting to know in and of itself. God, this thing gets... I'm not trying to be entertaining, but hell, I'm entertaining myself. Six, CW-1 agreed to conduct the killings and was provided with money as well as with CS's mother's address on a sheet of paper, but has since burnt that sheet of paper. CW-1 has remembered the street name as something like public, it's not it's blocked out, botched out. Public records show the address as, and they blocked that out. CW-1 has taken a trip to Oregon City, Oregon, at the direction of Edgar Steele to scout out the location. Seven, CW-1 was told by Edgar Steele that the murder had to look like an automobile accident so that Edgar Steele could collect money on an insurance policy. CW-1 would receive an additional $25,000 after carrying out the murders. CW-1 advised that she was supposed to carry out the murders on Friday, June 11, 2010. On June 9, 2010, CW-1 participated in a controlled, consensually monitored meeting with Edgar Steele at Steele's residence located, and they blocked that out. prior to CW1 traveling to Steele's residence, CW1 was provided with a body recording device. CW1 drove to Steele's residence while under NIV CTV members' surveillance. Whatever, it's got to be some kind of counterterrorism force, right? and this has got to be Fairfax. I think this is Fairfax, as screwed up as that sounds. That is the guy arrested for planting the pipe bomb. CW1 went into a horse barn located on the property and met with Steele. While inside the barn, Steele began to discuss the murder plot that is supposed to happen on Friday, June 11, 2010. Stop. You know a thought that comes into my mind that's just sad, beyond sad. Steele's wife got upset when she couldn't contact her husband. And that indicates to me that she had genuine, real emotion for her husband. And he's trying to kill her? That's the allegation. I've never heard of a fabrication this convoluted before in my life. This may be a first. I'll try to keep an open mind, but wow, you talk about somebody who's got a heavy burden here, a high hurdle. This is one convoluted case if I ever heard of one. And I don't see anything yet that just jumps out at me as to why Steele isn't guilty as charged. Again, I don't know. If he looked like, if he looked better, if his visage was better, I could give him a break better, but I'm just, my instincts tell me bad things about Edgar Steele. And it's a big mistake to go after the government and criticize them when they don't deserve the criticism. You need to criticize them when they merit criticism. Don't pile on to them if they're just doing their job as anyone would expect them to. Start. Steele discussed an insurance policy, etc. Steele's told, yeah, etc. Start. During this same meeting, CW asked for $400 to help cover the travel costs to Oregon City, Oregon, to carry out the murder. Edgar Steele left the barn and is believed to have gone into his residence to obtain the $400. Edgar Steele also discussed the payment amounts if only one of the two agents is killed, targets is killed. 10. Before the meeting ended, Edgar Steele discussed the alibi that he has set up for Friday, June 11, 2010. Edgar Steele told CW1 that if the Black Endeavor were to leave, he guaranteed that his wife would be driving it. F.A. Sotkin confirmed that a 2004 Mitsubishi Endeavor bearing Idaho license plate is owned by Edgar and Cindy Steele. At the conclusion of the meeting, CW1 drove to a predetermined location where the recording device and $400 cash paid by Edgar Steele to CW1 were recovered. Stop. Okay. You people out there who wonder whether or not Edgar Steele is guilty as charged, you necessarily have to state that all that's being provided in this affidavit is a goddamn lie. That none of this ever happened. Because if any of it happened, Steele's guilty as all hell. 11. Start. 11. On June 10, 2010, CW1 participated in a second controlled, consensually monitored meeting with Edgar Steele at Steele's residence located at, prior to CW1 traveling to Steele's residence, CW1 was provided with a body recording device. CW1 drove to Edgar Steele's residence while under the terrorist force member surveillance. During the meeting, Edgar Steele advised he would call and confirm that CS would be leaving the residence on June 11, 2010, during the morning hours. Edgar Steele told CW1 that he would receive payment when confirmation of deaths was received and Edgar Steele was not considered a suspect. Stop. This affidavit suggests that this person, this paid informant, is a 20-year-old friend of Steele's. The old adage, when you got friends like that, you don't need any enemies. That's certainly true here. But, no. This is a screwy deal. Start 12. During the same meeting, CW1 and Edgar Steele discussed the travel plans to Oregon to carry out the murder. CW and Edgar Steele discussed the car accident was the best way to do the murder and make sure that they were dead after the accident because Edgar Steele did not want to take care of a paraplegic. See, now maybe that's... Stop. Now maybe that's just a clever fabricator. Maybe what we have here is manufactured evidence. Fabricated evidence, but it's a clever, and it's not to say that there aren't clever people out there who might could do that. But you have to acknowledge how clever it is to insert that business about Steele stating he didn't want to take care of paraplegic. Start. Edgar Steele once again discussed the alibi he has set up for Friday, June 11th. It's just remarkable how recent that was. That was last Friday, a week ago. The world has changed, has it not, since last Friday? The world will be different a week from today, will it not? You think it'll be a better place or a worse place to live? My general sense is it's probably going to be a worse place to live, don't you know? Start. Edgar Steele once again discussed the alibi trio. Edgar Steele told CW that if she got caught, he would deny knowing CW. Well, he's caught. I think this is Fairfax. Start. Hey, now, how... Stop. see, that don't make sense right there. That does not make sense. How can Steele deny knowing CW when this affidavit alleges they've known each other for 20 years? Maybe more to the point, because a lot of these FBI agents and, you know, police, they aren't that smart. I mean, they're just people too. Maybe what the person that came up with this affidavit, their intelligence is limited. They're not all knowing. Maybe what they're trying to say here is that Steele will say, look, if you get caught, I'm not going to admit hiring you to do it. Maybe. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense, though, that they say on the one hand he knew him for 20 years, and then on the other Steele's going to deny knowing him. Start. Edgar Steele also told CW that if CW got caught but did not talk about Edgar Steele would compensate his family. 14. Prior to the interview ending, Edgar Steele told CW that he has no second thoughts and he wants the plan carried out. This statement was made multiple times during the meet. Edgar Steele and CW agreed to meet at some point in the future when the CW returned from Oregon. At the conclusion of the meeting, CW drove to a predetermined location where the recording device was recovered. Okay, I'm necessarily going to have to post this affidavit on my website. Affidavit. I always have a hard time spelling that. Affidavit. Isn't that it? Spell check it, Jimmy. Affidavit. Yeah, affidavit. I hate to misspell words. All right, put it here. I'm just saving this affidavit off of Pacer. And I'm going to post it on my website for you to read. There it is. And let me just jot while it's fresh in my mind the title of this broadcast. Affidavit. The truth, or one heck of a whopper! Exclamation point. Question mark. Where'd that affidavit go? Here it is. Okay. Start 15. Did you get that? Also, at the conclusion of the meeting, CW drove to a determined location where the recording device was recovered. A post-search of CW was conducted. 16. Based on my training, experience, and knowledge of this case, I believe that there is probable cause to issue a complaint for the arrest of Edgar J. Steele. This belief is supported by CW's contacts with Edgar Steele and consensually recorded conversations as well. The prior meetings between CW and Edgar Steele discussing the murder of CS and her mother, which have taken place at this residence. Affiant being duly sworn, etc. That's Michael P. Sotka, Special Agent, Federal Bureau of Investigation. All right. Let me state this in clear, concise terms. A police officer once filed an affidavit against me. And in it, she stated, and we're talking about Shalonda Holly, she said that I pointed a loaded .357 at her. She wrote that down on a piece of paper. That was an affidavit as well, just like this affidavit I'm reading here. It was a goddamn fucking lie. She made it up. She fabricated it. It was a fucking lie. She was and is a nigger bitch. And a lesbian to boot. So, clearly, CW-1 could be similarly making all this shit up. But, as immediately when I say that, see, we've got recordings as well. See, Shalonda Holly was the only witness to the alleged crime. She's the only one who said that. And she fucking made it up. Here it's different. Here we've got CW, who could lie if that's all that they were going on. But he had recordings on him. They recorded, the allegation here is that CW got Steele to say all this stuff. So there's more here than simply Shalonda Holly's word. You've got they've got Steele on tape. If I'm following this correctly, they've got Steele on tape discussing all that which this affidavit states. How you overcome that? Well, in Steele's position, and he's saying absolutely, completely, not guilty. Well, do you think the dumbass is not aware that they've got him on tape talking about killing his wife and mother-in-law? That's why I go back to my blue tick nose. He looks like a sick puppy. He looks like one sick dog. And his sickness predates this particular legal dilemma. And yet he's saying absolutely, completely not, or something like that. What's he saying? My plea is absolutely, completely not guilty, quote unquote, Steele told the court. And they've got him, if I've got this right, they've got him on tape. See, this is the crap that's out there. I was never impressed with Steele. I mean, just in terms of his stature. He had none, really, as far as I was concerned. There is no stature out there. Not really. Not really. Nobody with a tune, nobody that's got some honey, you know. Nobody who can sing a good tune that makes you feel good inside. They can holler nigger and Jew all you want, but they still, you got to have a little bit more than that. You can't simply all the time holler nigger and Jew. Yeah. Follow me. Start. We're starting back at this news article here. Assistant U.S. Attorney Tracy Jo Whelan. That's a moth. Start. Assistant U.S. Attorney Tracy Jo Whelan asked the court for no contact orders to keep Steele from speaking with his wife and her mother. Cindy Steele was in the courtroom throughout the hearing. Dale granted the no contact orders despite Edgar Steele's objections. He called it an invasion of the marital state, quote unquote. The federal government is trying to drive a wedge between my wife and myself. Stop. Now, there are two ways to look at that. If he didn't really do this, then God Almighty, what an awful thing. But if he actually was trying to kill his wife, the government would be derelict in not trying to, you know, keep her out of harm's way. Start. Still gesturing to his wife and son, who also was in court, said, quote, ask if they have any fear of me, close quote. Stop. You know, that's no real test. That is not a real test, because Steele, in his sick way, I'm just conjecturing here, if he's trying to kill his wife, do you think he's going to let on that he hates her and might want to kill her? No, he would try to make her feel safe and secure, make her, put her at ease, so she's more killable. She's easier to kill. I mean, that's just common sense. If anything, he would be extra nice to her. Which, again, if he did that, man, you talk about a sick sucker. He looks the part, too. I keep going back to that. He looks the part. He looks the fucking part. So, yeah, you know, it's just a matter of your ability to judge somebody. Are you capable of that? Obviously not. A lot of y'all just lack good judgment. The people y'all follow, the people y'all give money to, man, y'all need to reassess that. Start. After the hearing, Cindy Steele struck the lobby wall with her hand and was heard crying. Stop. Bless her heart. This is, you know, you can't help but feel sorry for this woman. What in the world did she do to merit being killed if these allegations are true? What in the world could she have done to merit being killed, murdered? And, you know, anybody out there who wants to comment about the tape recording, now I know y'all would say, well, hell, Jimmy, they took down World Trade Towers, they did Oklahoma City, and God knows what else. How hard is it to frame somebody for a murder-for-hire plot? That's chump stuff. Yeah, maybe. I'm not there yet. I ain't there yet. Start, quote, "I need to be allowed to talk to my husband," close quote, she yelled. She also said she needed her vehicle. She and the couple's son were driven from the courthouse in a pickup truck without speaking with reporters waiting outside. According to court records, now sealed by the court, Steele offered to pay a hitman up to $125,000 to kill his wife and mother-in-law in a car crash that would be meant to look like an accident. The documents say a concealed recording device captured Steele ordering the hit. Stop. Well, this appears to be a court document that's now unsealed. I think I just got through reading it, as a matter of fact, the affidavit from that special agent. I think that's right. Start. Also Tuesday, Steele told the court he had no money after federal agents, quote, "seized our life savings last week," close quote, when he was arrested. He asked for and received a federal public defender. Dale found that at least for now, Steele did not appear to have the money needed to pay for legal counsel based on information he provided Tuesday. Stop. This report is correct. It says he asked for and received a federal public defender. Well, clearly he changed his mind. Let's try to reach that public defender. One more time. The lady.
Good morning, Federal Defenders.
Good morning. This is Jim Giles with Radio Free Mississippi, and we're on the air now, and I was calling to request a telephone interview with Kimberly Ann Dieter.
You know, she's not in the office yet. Do you want to leave her a voicemail?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kimberly Dieter is out of the office until Friday, June 18th. If you need immediate help, please contact her assistant, Laura Alvarez, or the front desk. Thank you.
Since she's going to be out for a week, let me try Laura Alvarez.
Good morning, Federal Defenders.
Yes, ma'am. Sorry to bother you again. Jim Giles, still on the air. Ms. Dieter's phone mail suggested that I ask for Laura Alvarez, her assistant.
Laura's not in either. She doesn't get here until about 8:30, 8:45.
Okay. Well, since she's going to be out for so long, I will call back next week.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
You know, sometimes when you're just thinking on the fly, which I'm doing now, wonder who else could be, I mean, just in terms of thoroughness, let me try to reach. I mean, I never can reach them. They don't answer their phone. Let me try one more time. Nobody's told me to stop calling. I'm not trying to bother you. If you don't want me to call anymore, just let me know. I'll stop calling. but I'm just trying to be a good journalist here.
U.S. Attorney's Office.
Yes, ma'am. This is Jim Giles with Radio Free Mississippi. And we're on the air now, and I was calling to request a telephone interview with Miss Tracy Jo Whelan.
All right. Tracy is on the phone right now. Would you like her voicemail?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Thank you. Just a moment.
Thank you.
Hi, we've reached the desk of Assistant United States Attorney Tracy Whelan. I can't take your call right now, but we'll be happy to call you back. Please leave your name and telephone number and any message that you'd like. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Good morning, Ms. Whelan. This is Jim Giles with Radio Free Mississippi, and I'm covering the Edgar Steele case and was calling to request a telephone interview with you in regard to that. My phone number is 601-939-2950, and I do not have a deadline. Thank you. See, us media pros, we like to always include that business about not having a deadline, because when you're a real pro, they always want to know, do you have a deadline? So I like to include that part. I've been educated, having, you know, acquiring some experience here myself. Don't you know? Who else knows what's going on up there in Sagal, Idaho? I wish I knew some gas stations up there, man. Let me call somebody who pumps gas, or heck, you know, they don't even pump gas anymore. I mean, just some regular people. They got regular people up there? Is everybody kind of rich? Sagal, Idaho. Businesses. I think that fellow with the throat cancer said it was 50 and raining, or somebody did. This is cutlery. That looks to be, you know, making knives. I was at a veterinary supply place the other day, and they had an empty knife case, and it may have been for old-timers or case or something. It was totally empty. Didn't have one knife in it. And I asked the guy, really good guy behind the counter, I said, why is it empty? And he said, well, the company, he either said they went broke or moved to China, and now all the knives that used to be made in America, they're made in China, something like that. Very sad and tragic. Maybe the basis for a fucking revolution. I don't know. That may, you know. Maybe. That might happen. A lot of things have got to happen before then. Principally what has to happen, well, I'll get to that in a second.
We're sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer...
Well, that knife manufacturing company, they may have closed doors as well. Maybe some Chinese slave labor is making knives then. Now, you can't do that. You can't get away with that. Now, the exchange, you can make a lot of people big time poor. A lot of people. But when you impoverish so many people, which is being done, they're necessarily going to become unhappy. They were accustomed to a certain lifestyle, and now, well, that you've taken that away from them. And on top of that, well, you got a war going on, and you got niggers in the backyard trying to break into your fucking house. You know, it's just not a good recipe for civil tranquility, in my humble opinion. You know, this is interesting. Tallahatchie Road. There's some business just simply good on Tallahatchie Road. That may be the road where Steele lived. Google's kind of funny, you know. Anytime you Google something, then they pop up all these businesses based on your search.
Hi, you've reached 650144.
Yeah, that guy yesterday said 50 degrees and raining. Boy, I'd take 50 degrees and raining in a heartbeat, boy. It's hot as hell here. Dry.
Hello, no one is available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone.
It's my sense that Sagal's a pretty small town. Businesses in Sagal, Idaho. I was looking for that. There are 181 business listings. Accommodations, advertising, aircraft, antiques. Let's go to aircraft. Them pilot boys, they're kind of smart. Pilots are smart. Aircraft servicing. Yeah, but see, you know, when you click on something, give me a phone number, a local phone number. All right, when it comes to aircraft, servicing and maintenance, there's one listing. When I click on that, you know, there are a bunch of listings. Turner Aviation Enterprise. All right, let's see if that's not a local Sagal company.
We're sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected.
Isn't it something how businesses come and go, boy? In business today, out of business the next day. Churches. Let's call some religious folks up there. Let's call a Baptist church. They'll get a kick out of hearing from a Southern Baptist. Try to reach the preacher. Maybe be a bit early for them. I don't.
Hello. Please leave a message after the tone.
How many churches were listed? Well, that was the first one. Let's go to the second one. Seemed to be a good many Baptists up that way. Seems like Baptist churches are the predominant churches up there at Sagal. Nobody's going to answer there. Let me try the next one.
reach the Victory Baptist Church. Our service is...
I guess they don't show up until later in the day. All right. Who else? What other kind of businesses that would be interesting and could get a, you know, somebody that would talk straight to you? Mobile homes, parks and communities. Let's call the mobile home people. I bet they answer their phone. Mobile homes, hell, they're always with us. We give $10 million fucking dollars a day to Israel. And there are a lot of goddamn fucking mobile homes in this state. That's a nice way. Fucking mobile home. It's a goddamn trailer. Good morning. This is Jim Giles with Radio Free Mississippi, and we're on the air now, and I'm calling in regard to the Edgar Steele case up there, just trying to get a feel for what's going on. And I was wondering, is there somebody up there who might give me an interview? Hello? How quick is your ear? How quick is your ear? Did you hear the way he answered the phone? That was a used car salesman, baby. All he's interested in doing is selling fucking trailers. He ain't interested in talking with Radio Free Mississippi about Edgar Steele. All that used car salesman's interested in doing is selling fucking trailers. And there are a lot of people out there who's going to buy and need fucking trailers. And all the while we're giving Israel $10 million fucking dollars a day. That just kind of pisses me off. It makes me want to be profane. I mean, they do it without using profanity. They just give it over. As the niggers would say in the hood, they give it up. Our fucking nigger Jew media gives it up, baby, to the tune of $10 million fucking dollars a day to them goddamn fucking Jews over there in Israel. And all you nice people, you say, well, Jimmy, why you got to curse all the time, Jimmy? You seem like you want to do the right thing. Sometimes you sound like a reasonable, nice young man. Now, why the fuck you cuss all the time? Listen, darling, the reason I fucking curse all the time is because our nigger Jew media is giving Israel and fucking Jews over there $10 million fucking dollars a day. And I find that real fucking profane in and of it fucking self. Huh? So that's why I fucking curse. And the reason you ain't hollering and yelling like me, I just don't fucking get it. Hell, I just don't fucking get that. That's fucking insane. That's illogical. It's fucking stupid. Why you want to be fucking stupid all your fucking life? $10 million a day. $10 million fucking dollars a day. And that's at a minimum. Jimmy Carter used to, and I get it from former President Carter, $10 million fucking dollars a day. Hey, some clever motherfuckers who can figure out how to get $10 million a day from a nation filled with fucking trailers. It just makes no sense to me in my simple... See, I'm kind of simple-minded here. Kind of dullard. We got all this goddamn squalor, crime, shit going on in our fucking country, and we're giving Israel, them fucking Jews over there in Israel, $10 million fucking dollars a day. And you ain't profane? Why is that? Hey, I tell you what, let's make a deal. I'll stop cursing when we stop giving Israel one fucking penny. I'll become a teetotaler. Hell, I'll stop drinking. Shit, that's fucking pathetic. Eh, man, goddamn. All right, let's go to another, they say, mobile homes repairing and service. I bet you they'll answer, too. See, the people who don't answer. But I'm willing to speculate. Now, I want to make sure that's not the number I just called. I don't want to call up that used car salesman again. All right. I've got the last digits on that. Just make sure you don't dial the same number. It's a different number. I don't want to bother anyone.
We're sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected.
Well, I'm surprised. It just goes to show maybe the people don't have the money to repair and service their trailers anymore up there in Sagal, Idaho. But they're still buying them, apparently. Now, undoubtedly on credit, right? Painters. Painters are pretty straight shooters. See that? They're on the phone. Real estate developers. Let's see. We'll see what listing they give for a real estate developer up there in Sagal. Nothing. Restaurants, cafe, restaurants, deli, roofing. Roofers are interesting people too. They tend to be straight shooters. Yes, good morning. This is Jim Giles with Radio Free Mississippi, and we're on the air now, and the reason I'm calling you, it's in regard to the Edgar Steele case, which I'm following. He's the lawyer that was charged with the murder for hire plot. Are you familiar with that case?
Nope.
Okay, well, I'm sorry to bother you. He's too busy working. Let me just Google Steele and see if there's any new news today. And in terms of me trying to attract leaders out there, that you are a leader. Or let me just say this. I know necessarily you need a way to try to gird your loins, to try to find extra courage to get out there and do something that is really tough and risky. And, man, you just got to be brave to do it. I encourage you to look out there and do some research on white women and children who've been murdered by niggers in your state. And dig up the facts the best you can. Of course, a bunch of those facts are going to be buried. I, again, recommend... what's the name? Dang, I've used them forever. Versus Law. Go to versuslaw.com, and for a very nominal fee, you can have access to your state's appellate court records. That's where the niggers always end up, at the appellate court, that is, the Supreme Court, where they're appealing their conviction for murder. And typically, you can find out what the facts... Of course, they leave out a bunch of the facts, but you can get a sense of who was killed, and you can put the dots together, connect the dots, and you can find out because the nigger Jew media there where you live, they will not have reported it. So there are just a gazillion cases out there, unknown to you in the state where you live, where a fucking nigger took a white child or a white woman and raped and killed them. Study on that. Pray on that. Put that case under your pillow at night, and you might find the courage to get out there and run as an independent for your state house and dedicate your campaign to that white child or white woman who was raped and killed by that nigger. Y'all want to put Schwerner, Goodman, and Cheney on that federal FBI building? Fuck you. Huh? You going to regret doing that shit? I've been telling you that a long time. Y'all going to regret whining about Schwerner, Goodman, and Cheney till the cows come home? Because I'm going to cram it back down your fucking throat, man. Just keep it up. When I'm all through, I intend for every fucking Mississippian in this goddamn state to know more about Charlotte Parker than they ever knew about Schwerner, Goodman, and Cheney. So keep it up there, boys. Keep it up. You're going to regret it, I guarantee goddamn to you. Because we're going to elect a new House of Representatives here in Mississippi. We're going to then move on to the U.S. Congress and acquire strictly legal power in both state legislative power and federal legislative power. And we're going to run all the fucking niggers and Jews over to one side, and then we're going to build a big-ass white wall. And we're going to throw out necessarily a bunch of Judeo-Christians and whites who love niggers and Jews. So that's coming. That's what we're working on here. We're rather ambitious here at Radio Free Mississippi. I'm just looking for news for Edgar J. Steele. A lot of you fucking fools out there, you say, what the hell are you rambling on about? I don't understand. I don't get it. Really, you don't get it? You being honest? You don't understand it? Like I said, you know the right thing to do, huh? Come on. Huh? You know what they did to Charlotte Parker's wrong. That's unacceptable. You know why they did it, too. Because they're fucking niggers. And you'll ultimately realize the reason you never knew about her is because of those Jews. Those fucking Jews covered it up. They never told you about it. So I'm going to give you a break. I'm going to give y'all a new break here in Mississippi. I'm going to give my fellow Mississippians a new lease. I'm going to look at you differently. From now on, I'm going to try to remember to look at you as either informed and knowledgeable about Charlotte Parker having been raped vaginally and anally, shot 3 times, but dies of smoke inhalation because the niggers who did that to her, the 2 niggers who did that to her, burned the Parker family down, and they also killed her older brother and her mother and father who were returning from church. So as far as I'm concerned, there are only two types of Mississippians now, in my opinion. There are those who know what happened to Charlotte Parker, and they don't like it, and they're ready to do something about it. And there are those who don't know. Or moreover, those who know and don't care and don't want to do anything about it. That's the way I'm going to look at the situation from now on. Or rather, the people in Mississippi. I'm reading the headline, bomb found under car linked to North Idaho. That's Edgar Steele owns, yeah. Let's sort this by date, see the most recent. 1 day ago, there doesn't look to be any new news. I just go back to that affidavit, you know, in terms of covering this. You know, once I decide that this guy, and could it be that this Fairfax fella is just he's crazy and he lost it and he's fumbling around and it's just weird, just real weird. All right, I'm about to shut this thing down unless I can think of anything else that needs to be included. I think that's about it. You know, at some point, General Moore, he asked the question, are we done here? Yes, sir, General Moore. We're done here. What'd you say, General Moore? What'd you say? Don't get too enthusiastic. Get your theme music cued, ready to play. Yeah, General Moore asked the question, are we done here? Yeah, we're done here. Then General Moore would say, wouldn't you love to hear General Moore say, or Colonel Moore, wouldn't you love to hear Colonel Moore say, follow me!